Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Monday and we are packed. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. It's great to have you in 1 hour from now where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Joy Taylor joining me today. We are getting clarity now. Clarity, it's all starting to kind of work in the directions we thought or hoped. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. This was a wild sports weekend. There's a lot going on. What a crazy summer it's been.
It's really, though, been, I got to tell you, we've seen the best of times, though. We're seeing remarkable baseball, golf, NBA performances. And let's start Milwaukee, Atlanta. You know, I've told you, I thought Milwaukee would win it in five. And in any business, in any relationship, you're only as good as your answers. Any relationship, any team, any business with a lot of questions is not that great. I want answers. Milwaukee's a much better team. I don't want to hear about Trae Young's ankle. Milwaukee gives me answers and guarantees. Giannis is an automatic 30 and 13 every night. Depth, every night, Milwaukee. Defense, check, Milwaukee. They're a bigger, stronger, more experienced physical team. Check, 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 Milwaukee. Here's all you have to say to sum up this series. We're surprised when Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday has a really bad night. It's like, whoa, you don't see that much. With Atlanta, we're shocked if Bogdan Bogdanovich has a great night or Kevin Huerter has a great night. That's the series. When the Bucks lose, it's because something we depend on and are used to, a really good veteran player, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, good veteran players. And say great, good. They have a bad night. We're like, whoa, well, Chris Middleton was bad. But he's not always as good as he was last night in the fourth, but he's always good. He's a very solid two, probably a three on a great team. Atlanta is essentially Portland. They're Dallas. They have an unbelievable young guard that can just go crazy. But you never really know what you're getting from the other guys. And Atlanta's one win over Milwaukee, Trae Young goes for 48 points and 11 assists and 7 rebounds, and they win by 3. In the night that Trae Young didn't play well, they got absolutely torched by Milwaukee. And that's the reality. I said this Friday. Atlanta in the East, you can have an unbelievable guard. Trae Young, Steph Curry, Dame Lillard. Like one of these just incredible young players. In the East, that'll get you to the conference finals. In the West, you sneak into the playoffs and you get bounced. That's the difference. That's the difference between Pac-12 football and SEC football. I mean, that's the difference between the NFC West and the NFC East, is that Atlanta's a great Eastern story. But there's outside of Trae Young, I don't get any guarantees. It's Trae Young and cross your fingers. Milwaukee's a really, really good team. I wouldn't go great. But they're certainly in the class of that Raptors team that won a couple of years ago, the team that Joy loved and called her shot very early. They're in that class that if they get a break and the Suns got to the finals or the Clippers and guys got hurt, they could absolutely win it. You don't think Atlanta can win this thing? I mean, how many points would Dame have to score for Portland to win it? 70? What would you have to get from Trae Young every night to win this series and win the championship? 48, 53? So it's just, you're talking about depth, Milwaukee. Size, they dominated the boards again last night, 50 to 35, Milwaukee. Experience, Milwaukee. Number of guys who can drop 18 to 20 points, Milwaukee. Been here before, Milwaukee. I don't want to hear about Trae Young's injury. Great player, it happens. Smaller athlete, steps on an ankle, boom, foot, turns an ankle, that's life. Look around, that's the playoffs. You got to overcome. Milwaukee's had to overcome some stuff. Giannis isn't very confident at the free throw line. Everybody's got to overcome something. I mean, even Phoenix, the hottest team in the NBA right now, COVID, Chris Paul. You got to be able to overcome. If Atlanta can't overcome a twisted ankle by Trae Young, you shouldn't be in the NBA Finals. But make no mistake here. The teams in all sports that give you more guarantees and more answers are the better team. They're not always as fun to watch. They don't necessarily always have the best young player. They have stretches where they don't always fulfill your promises. This is the Bucks series. This is the team I picked to get to the finals. And for the record, I didn't pick them because they had the best players. I picked them for two reasons. We all dismissed them, so there was no pressure. And secondly, none of their guys ever get hurt. And they haven't. And that's why they're here. All right, so this is an interesting story. Damian Lillard, one of the most loyal, great players, one of the great, smallish players in NBA history. There are rumors he's unhappy in Portland. Now, I am not going to breach my confidence. A few weeks ago, I was on social, and Damian Lillard DM'd me. I'm not going to tell you what Dame said. I'll tell you what I said. You deserve the best. I like Portland. I worked there for a long time. Great city. I'm not going to tell you what he DM'd me. But I'm going to tell you what I said to him. You are too good. You deserve the best. Wherever that best is, if Portland can get you the best, you deserve it. But Dame Lillard is going to play in the Olympics. And I want to talk about that. So the Olympics are like the world's greatest AAU team. All the best players in the world get together in Olympic years. And they're going to go to Vegas and hang out, that long flight to Tokyo, and you really become close friends. Keep your eye on Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal. They're bros. They're close. Well, I'd put money on them playing together next year because Beal wants out. Jason Tatum wants a two. Jaylen Brown's a tradable piece. And Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum, in my opinion, would be favored to win the East next year. They're going to the Olympics together. Now, I want you to think of Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard, for as great as he is, this is his first time hanging out with the big guys. And remember LeBron? Oh, he loved Cleveland. He was happy in Cleveland. He was loyal to Cleveland. Akron's finest. And then the Redeem Team. He went to the Olympics, and Bosch was on the team, and D-Wade was on the team. Well, they signed. Remember 2000, let me look this up. 2000, what was it the year with Kyrie? 2016, Kyrie, KD, and DeAndre Jordan were on the Olympic team together. They hung out. And then they all signed with the Nets on the same day. That's the way it works. And Dame is very unique. Wasn't wildly recruited in high school. Right? Like went to Weber State where he was mostly anonymous. You didn't watch him play. People in Utah didn't watch him play. And then he goes to geographically isolated Portland. So he's never really, he's the best player in the NBA who's never been part of the club. He didn't go to a big school, didn't go to a big college. He's not in one of these areas with several pro teams, a train ride away. He's out there in Portland. And now Dame, for the first time in his life, gets to go to the five-star restaurant, and it is hard to go back to Sizzler. He is finally getting an opportunity. He's finally going to get the accolades. He's finally going to get the love. He's finally going to prove to everybody, which most of us who watch the league know, he's one of the great players in the last 10 years in the league. This is an all-time talent, all-time great player. And I am not somebody that just roots for mobility at all costs. I thought Kevin Durant leaving Steph Curry to Kyrie was a mistake. But I've been mobile, and I support mobile. And I especially support mobile when 9 drafts and 9 free agency periods, 9 plus 9, 18 opportunities to get him a star, they haven't. And now he goes, as he's frustrated, it just happens to be the year. He's going to go to Vegas, hang out with the fellas, long flight to Tokyo. Because of COVID, the players will probably hang out more together like the bubble. They're not going to be out on the town. If he leaves, I can't blame him. I always root for Portland. I love Portland, but I can't blame him. 9 free agent opportunities, 9 drafts, and they can't get him a dependable two. I like C.J. McCollum. He should be a three, maybe a four in a great team. So keep your eye on this story. There are, to me, there are two teams, and I'll talk about that later. There are two teams that make a lot of sense that I think if I was the GM of Portland, I would sign off on it. And I know these two teams would love to have it. There's a lot of talk about a lot of teams. There are two that make a ton of sense, and we'll talk about that coming up. Plus, next, Clipper fans are blaming the officials. Why did the officials not go to replay with that ball hit out of bounds? And I'm going to discuss that. A lot of Clipper fans are saying that's the moment we lost the game and perhaps the series. 50 minutes from now, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Simply Safe, be safe at home. Fast 15 years, always somebody there to keep you safe. SimplySafeColin.com, free security camera. So, first of all, the Clippers are not losing because of the officials. Let's start there. DeMarcus Cousins butchered an intentional free throw miss the other night. Apparently, he doesn't know the rules. Kawhi Leonard's out. They're shooting 42% for the series. And frankly, typical Clippers, they've been bad in a couple of late fourth quarter situations. It's not the refs. Fans always want the refs to be perfect. And the free throw by DeMarcus Cousins, he apparently doesn't know the rules a decade into the NBA. It's not the refs. But we always understand, in baseball is a great example, umpires have different strike zones. There are literally odds makers move the lines based on who's the home plate umpire tonight. That's not cheating. That's the reality of some umpires call a bigger strike zone. I mean, they don't go from here to there, but a slightly bigger strike zone. There are pitchers. Kurt Schilling once told me, you know, there were a handful of umpires I was going to get the corners. And there were others I was not. So you know that over time. We know in the NFL, Herm Edwards has told me, there were crews that call holding. And all week, once you get the assignment, who's officiating the game, you sit down and go, fellas, you got to watch it because they'll call holding. Fans think that robots are apparently officiating game. We think in the NBA, we acknowledge in other sports, there are officials who call pass interference. And then there are officials, and this is what I would do if I was an official, let two athletes be great. You watch the way the Patriots coach their defensive backs. They're slapping you the entire way down the field. Bill teaches aggressive corner play, and most officials let you do that. But there are the occasional crews that will call PI. But in the NBA, we think all officials officiate the game the exact same. No, they don't. Some guys give out techs really quickly. Some guys like to, their egos become important. Now, I'm going to set the tone early in this game, and they get teams into the bonus because they want to set the tone. Some are young officials. Some are older with confidence and a little ego. So in game two, the officiating crew was different than game four, right? So in game two, the officiating crew calls for a replay on that out-of-bounds play, which infuriated almost all of you. You don't think that's reviewable. It should go to the offensive guy. In game four, totally different crew comes in, and they don't go to the replay, and now everybody's upset with that. Well, it's a different crew. Is it possible that the game four crew watched the game two crew and said, guys, this is a mess. We don't want to be 35 minutes, the last 2 minutes of the games, on the out-of-bounds stuff. Let's just go keep the pace moving. We'll replay stuff. We'll know we'll have to replay stuff. On the out-of-bounds stuff, do we really want to get ripped for 4 days on television? Let's just move past it. But in baseball, we totally understand umpiring crews have different personalities. Hockey, though I don't know it well, same thing. Football, absolutely that's the case. But in basketball, they're all robots. They all call it the exact same way. In my world, you wouldn't go to replay on this ever. You really wouldn't. But if you do, then you got to get it right. It's absurd to go to replay and then give it to the team that touched it last. I don't buy that argument. If you're going to go to replay on this, okay. It'd almost be like on the freeways, which I've never been a fan of. They have some places in America have cameras where you'll just get a ticket sent to your house. You went 12 miles an hour over last Wednesday. Americans don't like that. If you're going to give us a ticket, you got to pull us over and catch us in the act. You can't use technology. And that's been something for years and years that's gone on in America. And my takeaway is I don't like cameras on freeways. You're going to get me? See me. But if you do have cameras on freeways and I'm 45 miles an hour over, I probably should pay the ticket, right? Like if I'm that fast. I don't like going to the replay on this play, ever. Just give it to the offensive guy. Let's go. If you don't, just go offense. And they didn't. But if you do, then you got to get the right answer because it's going to look stupid. You know, if you're going to do certain things in life, then you at least get it right. So the idea that this was a different, I'm reading stories this morning, this cost the Clippers. The Clippers are losing this series because they don't have Kawhi. They're shooting 42% in the series. I frankly don't think this morning they're as good as Phoenix. They've had bad fourth quarters. This is who they are. And DeMarcus Cousins, I guess, doesn't know the rules of basketball. After a decade in the league. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Do they still have red light cameras? Have you ever gotten a ticket for one of those?
No, what's that?
A lot of places got rid of them, but for a while they had cameras at intersections. And if you ran a red light, they just sent you a ticket to your house.
Yeah, Americans don't like that.
Well, it was ridiculous because, I mean, there's a little bit of, like, we got to keep traffic moving and we can't turn left, so we're already in the intersection. And, like, you're in the middle of the intersection and the light is red. Like, what do? You just stay there until it turns green again. Like, you have to go through and then they would get in tickets. It was crazy.
You got a ticket for that?
I never did, but I know lots of people that did. And yeah. They were not happy about
it. No, if you're going to get us, get us. But you got to be there when it happens.
Yeah, I'm not encouraging running red lights, you know, but like there's a little nuance to, did you run the red light or were you in the middle of the intersection when the light changed? Like,
it also,
that's how traffic works.
I always find it funny with officials. I've said this before. You've been on the show and I've said this. The NBA is the hardest sport to officiate because in baseball, most people are static. They're just standing there.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's standing. There's a ball of the plate, not movement. In the NFL, outside of pass interference, there's a lot of guarantees, definitive, like you're offsides. You're lined up wrong. Essentially, the NBA, everything is pass interference. It's all subjective. Everybody's moving.
Yeah.
Nobody's standing. It's going, you know, hockey similarly, like when stuff isn't stationary and people are flying by you and you got to call stuff, it is harder.
And it's fast, and it's intimate.
And it's vertical. Hockey players aren't jumping.
The viewing, like, pain that the officials have to look at with the fans right there, like, the depth, or what are you looking at? There's so much going on.
It's really, it's a really hard sport.
And then you go to replay, and people want to go down. People want
to,
like, zoom in and, like.
And now we're complaining because on a common out-of-bounds play that we won't go to replay, sometimes pace of traffic and pace of play matter.
Well, I do think the end of the game, because we've talked about this as well, yeah. The replay is for the end of the game. But I think more than just the replay in that situation, can we just all, or just the league, decide what that is? Like, we all know the person that touched it last, it's out on them. But there is a bit of, this is how the game is played. So what is the actual rule here?
See, the NFL, Joy, doesn't let you do that with holding calls. We all know there's a holding call on virtually every play in the NFL. But you can't review those. So the NFL's did a good job. Nope, nope, nope. Yes, the NBA may need to do, to your point, is, okay, this is this out-of-bounds play. We're just not going to go to replay on that.
Well, yeah, because it's just how the game is played.
That's right. So if whatever the ref sees in that moment, that's what we'll go with. I think the NBA would be smart to just say, we're not going to replay this play. Whatever the ref sees. But there are things. NFL's done a really good job. They just give you a bunch of stuff we're not going to go to replay on.
Yeah. So the Blazers announced that they have hired Chauncey Billups as their next head coach. It is reportedly a 5-year deal that includes a team option in the fifth year. This is his first job as an NBA head coach. He spent this past season as an assistant with the Clippers.
Yeah.
He also played for 17 seasons and won a title with the Pistons in 2004 and was finals MVP in 2004 as well. This was met with a little resistance from some of the fans in Portland because of a case that he was involved with a while back, and they kind of came for Dame a little bit on it. Now it's being reported that Dame did not have a say in or influence necessarily in who they hired. Like, they didn't go to him like, do you want to hire Chauncey? And we're going to hire him. So that's now reportedly playing a little role. It's caused a little rift with Dame, with the fan base, because he didn't have anything to do with it. And he's kind of getting lumped in with the decision makers in the situation.
Well, I've only met Chauncey once, but the people I know that know Chauncey love him. I'm actually surprised he hasn't been a coach yet, because he's had opportunities, but I think he's done broadcasting. So Chauncey's always been, from the people that I trust that know the NBA, everybody loves Chauncey. I think I've only met him one time at the other place, but you know, I can't speak to his past, but I can speak to the present, which is he's respected. He's super smart. I wrote about him in my first book I wrote. I said he was the ultimate NBA lubricator, that good players in the league can agitate locker rooms or lubricate them. Every locker room he went into, the team got better. And it was like Shane Battier had this quality. If you put Shane Battier on a team, they were just better. It wasn't always because of Shane. It was great.
It's a Chris Paul kind of factor as
great
well.
Great at practice.
Yeah.
People trusted him. Potential arguments, fights. He goes in, breaks it up. Chauncey's got that like it thing. You put him into rooms, everybody gets along better. I mean, wasn't he on that Iverson Denver Nuggets team? I could be wrong on this, but it's like the one time. No, it was the Melo Denver Nuggets team, not the. There was a moment, I think it was Denver. I don't know if it was Iverson or it was Melo, but they were really good, and he got a lot of credit for soothing the egos and making it work, and that's kind of his reputation.
I think it's a good hire for Portland. I don't know how this is going to play out, because if Dame ends up leaving, it's kind of like the job is only as good as the stars that you have. So if Dame isn't there, and now they're all of a sudden in a bit of a rebuild, that could get a little dicey, but I think it's a good hire for Portland, and now it's just going to be a matter of what Dame decides he's going to do. So the Mavs have also found their next head coach. The team is said to have reached an agreement with Hall of Famer Jason Kidd to take over in Dallas next season. This will be his third stint as an NBA head coach, first with Brooklyn and then with Milwaukee. He's been an assistant with the Lakers for the past 2 years. He has a career regular season record, coaching record of 183 and 190. And his teams have gone 9-15 in 3 playoff appearances. They also hired longtime Nike executive Nico Harrison as their general manager and to run the franchise's basketball operations. Excuse me. So they brought on Dirk as a consultant to help with the coaching and the GM search. Dirk and Jason Kidd obviously played together and won the championship together. I think that Nico Harrison hire is also very interesting because he has a lot of relationships with players. And again, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being really optimistic. I know that there are some questions about if Jason Kidd is actually a head coach. But I think this is a perfect fit. Well, like if he's going to be successful, how could it not be in Dallas?
I was at an amazing party last night with a former Laker.
Oh,
and we talked about this move, and he said it's perfect. He said what Luka needs now is a former player, somebody generationally closer in age that he can look up to. He said players need different things at different times.
Yes, and so do organizations.
At this very bougie party. It wasn't bougie, actually. It was just amazing. And so I'm sitting there talking to a Laker, who, by the way, has his own winery now, so that's a little hint. Cool dude. So we talked about this, and he was like, you know, players need different things at different times. Luka needs Jason Kidd now. This is what works right now. So I'm for it.
Rick Carlisle said that he hoped that he got the job, that this was a perfect fit for Luka. Jason's younger. The style is going to work. They have a relationship. They have a history there in Dallas. I think it's a great move.
You know, Joy, what you're seeing is basketball players globally come to the States, America, and they're better younger.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're getting younger guys, and younger guys are probably better with younger coaches. It's not a knock on Rick Carlisle, who's 60, but the reality is the basketball culture in America is changing. The players are better, younger, and they're starring at 20 in this league. Translation, you're going to deal with a little less mature player, a less experienced player, maybe a player as a coach is a better fit than an older, experienced, less patient Rick Carlisle. So in the end, Rick Carlisle schematically and Kidd, probably Carlisle edge. But But what Dallas needs is somebody to deal with Luka, who is young, and I think Kidd works.
Well, yeah, and that's my point. Like, where an organization is, are you rebuilding? Do you need to establish a culture? Do you need to develop a young star? Are you drafting a younger star? Like, where are you in a win-now situation? Are you in a situation where you need to keep your star happy so he signs his extension? Like, the organization and the player need certain things at different times, and I actually like both of those moves. So everyone expects Trevor Lawrence to be the starter for Jacksonville next season, but the team hasn't made it official yet. Urban Meyer said he's happy with how Lawrence is progressing so far, but he's in no rush to make that final decision.
He's not ready yet, but he doesn't have to be ready yet. You know, we got a long training camp coming up. He's probably advanced maybe a little quicker than we would have thought, so which was a positive. Can't remember the exact date, but we started installing the playbook with him well before the draft. And so you can see the retention. He's got really good work ethic, and he's progressed very well.
He also mentioned the fact that Trevor Lawrence is married as a reason he doesn't have any distractions. His focus is on being a good husband, being strong in his faith, and winning games.
By the way, can you say that now, or is that bad to say in 2021?
What?
I like my quarterback to be married. Can I say that?
No, I think that's fine.
I said when Baker Mayfield got married, I'm like, good sign. I don't need Baker out at the clubs, hat on backwards, being in, you know, goofball.
I don't think it's a negative thing to not be married, but I think it's perfectly reasonable to say that if you are married in general, you probably have less distractions. At least we were going to assume that your home life when you come home is a little more stable or structured. I don't think that that's unreasonable.
Hey, if Baker Mayfield gets to the playoffs, I think Emily gets the credit. Baker, very little. It's the wife. It does matter. I don't know if you can say that in 2021.
Yeah, I don't think it's a negative thing to not be married.
Yeah, but
I do think that there can be some assumption, because, listen, not all marriages are made the same.
That's right.
But there can be some assumption of maturity. You're at a different space in your life because you are getting married, and that you're, you know, everything matters in some way or another. So if you have less distractions at home, if you have less stress at home, then your professional life will inherently thrive.
And what I'm about to say is a fact. Young men can be idiots. And so if you get somebody that can take some of the idiot out of them, like a strong wife, it's a bonus. That is a hot take, right? I am here to own that. Young men can be complete idiots. There's a reason we have all this law enforcement. It's not for grandpas and grannies. It's mostly young men new and dumb stuff.
I don't know, but
I'm saying that as a man.
I don't think it's unreasonable to say that it plays a role.
Yes. Giselle deserves half those trophies.
Yeah.
No question.
I think she would agree. she might say all of them.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I have this Damian Lillard story. People are saying he's reportedly could request a trade this offseason. He's just feeling stuff out. But, we're going to address this with Chris Broussard. The Olympics is really different. Like, you finally, if you just look at the psychology of Dame, not recruited heavily out of high school, goes to an anonymous college program, then tucked up in the corner of the country. We're not saying he's needy, but it's nice to be lumped in with the greats and talked about and hang with them once in a while. And he's kind of been his own dude doing his own thing for a long time. And, you know, it's different if you are in the recruiting cycle and Mike Krzyzewski and Bill Self and John Calipari and you get all this attention, then you go to Duke and you get all this attention. You know, you'd probably be like, I'm done with the attention. Okay, but Dame's never gotten that love, and he's one of the greatest players in the last 10 years in the NBA. So I do think going to the Olympics, the same time he's a little unhappy or at least pondering his future, it feels like Dame on the move could really happen. Chris Broussard will address that and more coming up, plus Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of the hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour. Chris Broussard, Mr. Energy, Fox Sports, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, joining us live. So I want to talk a little, the Clippers are complaining, you know, not the Clippers per se, but their fans are complaining, you know, about the out-of-bounds call, and it wasn't called. And my takeaway is I'd rather officials not go to replay on that. But if you do, and a crew decides to, well, then you have to get it right. And you might as well go with what the, you know, what the camera says, not what we think it should be. But I wasn't bothered by the fact that the officiating crew didn't go to the replay on that, because in the NFL and baseball, we know that different crews have different styles. Some NFL crews call holding constantly. Some call pass interference more often. Some baseball umpires have a bigger strike zone. Why can't the game four crew, why can't they just decide, guys, we're not going to go to replay on that call? We're just going to give it to the offense. Is that wrong?
Well, let me start here by saying, for the Clippers and their fans, when you are the best free throw shooting team in NBA history, and then you go ahead and shoot 66% from the foul line, 65% in that game, blame yourselves. And you lose a 4-point game at home. Blame yourself. So don't blame the officials. However, Colin, I hear what you're saying, and you're right. Obviously, they're different crews. But what made it so egregious to many people is just that, what, a couple games before, the same exact play had happened and it went the other way. Even I hate blaming officials. I'll go out of my way not to blame the officials if I can. But I did look at that and say, man, it just seems unfair. You know, because it was the same exact play as the ball off Devin Booker's hands in game two. And then the Chris Paul phantom foul. Right? Where they assumed he was going to get fouled at the end of the game. Chris travels and falls down, but he's never touched by the two Clippers that trapped him. So there were a couple calls that made me go, wow, I hate to see that. But you know what I tell myself? Hey, the phantom foul on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar by Bill Laimbeer. Hey, Michael Jordan's push off at the end of the great shot in Utah. It happens, so let's move on.
Yeah. Milwaukee, Atlanta. I said earlier, Milwaukee gives me more guarantees and answers every night. Atlanta, I got a lot of questions. They're so dependent on Trae Young, and I don't even feel like Milwaukee's dependent on Giannis. Last night it was Middleton. We know Milwaukee's the better team here, right? Like, that can be stated this morning. That's right. A better team, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look. Atlanta, and I love what Trae Young is doing. I think he looks like a future superstar. But I also get this Miami in the bubble vibe, right? Like, would you be surprised if next year they're the seventh seed?
No.
I mean, it's just a strange year, right? I'm not going to necessarily say, oh, they're right there with Philly, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn next year. They're in that class. I'm not going there unless they win this series, but... Milwaukee's the better team, and obviously with Trae Young hampered with the ankle injury, that further puts it in their favor. Chris Middleton, when he gets hot and he gets going, he is very tough. Now, he's not a perennial all-star type player, and that's why you see the inconsistencies. He was bad in games 1 and 2, but 6-for-23 in game 1 at home. But when he gets hot, he is great for the Bucks. And we know he is their go-to guy. Giannis is, you can pencil Giannis in for 34-14. But the go-to guy at the end of games is Chris Middleton. And I think in a year like this where there's no juggernaut left, that could be enough.
Yeah. So let's get to, we have the Olympics this year. And we know with the Redeem Team, LeBron played with Bosh and Wade. Then they became teammates. 2016, KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan played together. They became teammates. Dame, for the first time ever, is unhappy and going to the Olympics. It just screams opportunity to kind of connect with somebody. What would be your guess today? Because, I mean, I do think after 9 years, he's going to have a lot of guys in his ear say, dude, it's Portland. It's one and done. You got to move. And I listen, we're all capable of being persuaded. That's not a weakness. We're all capable of that. I think he's going to move. Is there a team or two where it works for you?
Yeah, there are a few teams where it works, and I believe he's taking these next 4 weeks to kind of ponder his whole situation and think about what he wants to do. He'll listen to guys. He obviously is his own man. I don't think he's fully embraced the super team situation yet. Like, I don't know that he really wants to go and be a part of a super team. I think he still wants to be kind of the man or have other guys join him. And that's why one team to look for, just keep an eye on, I'm not saying it's definitely happening, but just to keep an eye on is the New York Knicks. Because they've got the cap room where they could bring in Dame. Obviously, they got young players. They got draft picks. They could try to trade for him. And then they have cap room where they could bring in another star or two, depending on what they did with Julius Randle. So that's a situation to just keep an eye on. But if I'm Dame Lillard myself, Colin, I'm looking at Philadelphia. And I'm saying that's where I want to go. I want to go play with Joel Embiid. I think they would be phenomenal. Obviously, Ben Simmons is the guy, and, you know, Tyrese Maxey that has to go back from Philly, maybe a few draft picks. But that's where I'd be looking if I'm Dame. I think Boston's interesting, and Jason Tatum will be on that team, USA with him.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown would have to be the part going back, and I love Jaylen. But, you know, Boston's played this game of we're young, we're young, we're young, we're not giving up anything for years now, right?
Right, right.
And it's not worked out. Go ahead and try to get it done now. So I think that's something to watch for as well. Some people have thrown out Golden State. Would Golden State try to have Steph, Clay, and Dame? Now, that would be interesting. And let me throw this at you, Colin. I think this is what Dame is going through. He has nothing but respect for Steph Curry.
Right.
But I guarantee you, he believes in his heart of hearts, he's as good as Steph Curry. And now he's realizing, you know, I got to win to get my full respect.
Right.
Steph is going to go down as the second greatest point guard ever. Where's Dame right now? As we all would probably say, he's right there with Steph or close. Is he in the top 10? I mean, do we view him that way?
I do, yeah.
So he understands he has to go somewhere to win and finally get in those conversations of maybe a top 5, top 10 point guard of all time. So that's, I think a lot of players go through that when they don't win and they realize I'm not getting the respect I feel like I, the ultimate respect, and I'm not going to get it until I can at least get to the finals and play for
the championship. Let me throw one more team at you. The Miami Heat. So Portland would rather get Dame East. They're tired of Tyler Hero. They've got a good piece in Bam. Jimmy Butler, Dame. You could put that up against anybody in the East. And then I'm Portland. Okay, I need a bench. I got to get better defensively. I want Bam. Miami's tired of Tyler Hero. They may have some other Kendrick Nunn.
Duncan Robinson, yeah. So, I mean, you throw whatever you had to. I would want to keep Bam. And then have a big three of Jimmy Butler, Dame.
Yeah,
and
of course
Bam.
You would. Yeah, I get you would want to.
It's a possibility. Yeah. Draft picks. I mean, obviously, it's a top-notch organization. Eric Spoelstra's a great coach. Pat Riley's there. It's something to keep an eye on. And again, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Dame says, "Look, I'll give a year under Chauncey Billups. Let's see what he brings in. He's a highly respected guy around the league. Chauncey is. So let's see what he does. I'll give him one more year and then start to make a move." Whatever he does, I think he'll go quietly to the front office, try to be professional with them and work together. If that doesn't work, it's hard to see him going James Harden. But in the future, maybe it will have to come to that for him to get out of there. We'll see.
Good stuff, Chris Broussard. Good seeing you, bud. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Something to think about there, talking about this, is that, for instance, Tatum and Beal are good friends. But Washington could say, we don't want to have to face Bradley Beal and Tatum. So if Washington and that didn't work out, Boston's very interesting. Dame goes to Boston with Tatum, immediately favored in the East. That's a championship team. If you can get a little depth, what does Portland get? Jaylen Brown's gotten better every year. He's giving you about 22, 23 a night. Multiple first-round picks. Marcus Smart. So now you have Jaylen Brown and C.J. McCollum and Marcus Smart. Now you have a very good defensive backcourt, which in the West is huge. Portland's problem here is Dame and C.J. McCollum, very good offense, not much defense. Portland's a bad defensive team. So Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart make you a completely different defensive team. In a strong draft, you get multiple picks. You get, you know, I'm not saying Jaylen Brown's an all-star in the West, but he's a really good player. He played at Cal. He'd be comfortable with the West. That one to me makes sense. So Portland didn't have to face Dame too much. He's out East. You know, Boston didn't have to face Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart's really popular in Boston. Celtics Blazers feels like there's that works to me. All right, Colin right, Colin wrong, top of next hour. Fun stuff today. I love this trade stuff. The hurt.